Tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about trials and tribulations. And when I started this lesson, I was looking up verses, and there's quite a few, actually, more than I thought about trials and tribulations. And I'm not going to go through all of them or not have a real exhaustive lesson on it. Just want to go through a few verses, a few examples, and just make a few points that hopefully will help us all out a little bit. You know, and as we go through life, sometimes we go through trials and tribulations, whether we seem like we're doing things right and good or not, or we seem like we're doing everything God wants us to do, and then we see other people that seem like they don't go through any, and they're not being very righteous or doing what God wants. But in Matthew 5:45, God says that He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Sometimes it doesn't depend on how we're living, whether we're going to have trials or not. It seems as though no one is immune from trials and tribulations sometime or another in their life. It seems like we all experience them at one time or another. The one thing, though, is that not everyone goes through these trials and tribulations for the same reasons. Sometimes we go through trials and tribulations because we have sinned. If you would, turn to 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm going to read the first 5 verses, 1 through 5. This is just one of the many stories about David. And starting in verse 1, it said, "It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rahab. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he laid with her, for she was cleansed for her impurity. And she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, so she sent and told David, 'I am with child.'" Here we can see that David had sinned. He sinned against God. He took another man's wife, which he had no right to. And he even ended up leading to more sin and more sin. And that's what sin usually does. And that's another lesson. But we always need to be wary of what sin can do and how it can just lead to more sins. If you would, just turn over a few pages to 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter. It's chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. "So David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' And Nathan said to David, 'The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die.'" Because of his sin, there was great consequences. There's no doubt that the suffering that David was about to go through was a great trial, a great tribulation for him. Losing a child is not something that's easy to go through. It can be very trying to anyone that has to go through this. Let's read verses 16 through 18 of this same chapter. It says, "David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and laid all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground. But he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died, and the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, 'Indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm.'" There's no doubt he was going through a tough time here. Who wouldn't? Any of us would. So as we can see, sin can cause some of the trials and tribulations in our life. If you would, turn over to Revelation, the 3rd chapter. Revelation 3, and I'm going to read verse 19. Jesus speaking, he says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. He warns us. He tells us that he will chasten us. So we need to realize that this is something that we can bring on ourselves. And we need to make sure that we're not doing anything too, that we're living as God would have us to do. If you would, turn over to 1 Timothy. The 4th chapter. And if you've been in our Bible class Sunday morning or Wednesday night very much, you've heard this scripture. But it's a good scripture, and it applies here. It's 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Notice there's comparison between ourselves and the doctrine. There's a coalition here. We need to examine our lives and make sure we're living according to that doctrine. We need to be sure we're living according to God's Word. If not, it could cause trials and tribulations in our life. We could be being chastised by God if we're not continuing in His doctrine. And if we are, we need to examine ourselves. We need to recognize it, repent, and make whatever corrections in our life we need to be so that we are pleasing to God. Now, I know I've talked about, you know, there's tribulations and trials because of sin, but that's not always the case. Sometimes we can have trials and tribulations come to our lives that we don't know why. We don't know of any sin we've done to bring it on or anything else. If you would, turn back to the Old Testament, to Job, the 1st chapter. Job chapter 1. I'm going to read several verses in this chapter, but at first I'm just going to read the very first chapter, the very first verse of chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. There's no doubt from what we read here, Job was a man of good character. It says right here, he's blameless, upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. This in itself, this one verse, is a good example for us all. It's how we should strive to live our own lives and do as he has. This is a good quality. If you would now, let's go down to verse 7 through 10. Verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." Here we see that Satan is telling God that Job only fears God because God has blessed him. He's saying you built this hedge around him, you blessed everything he has, and that's why he fears you. He doesn't really fear you, and we'll see that. Let's read verse 11. "But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." This is a bold statement for Satan to be making. He says he will curse him to his face. Satan don't know that. Satan usually don't know the things he's saying. You know, he's just trying to get Job and get him to trip up. That's his only goal here. But he's so bold and he thinks he's smarter than God to say that Job, this man who is upright and fears God, will curse God to his face. It's almost as though Satan thinks he's smarter than God and that he can trip up Job. If you would, now let's read verse 12. "And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on this person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." Satan's going to be allowed to do things to Job. Not to hurt him physically here. But if anyone knows this, and we're not going to go through the whole story, but Job ends up losing all his possessions, his cattle, his land, his family members. This is a very real tribulation he's getting ready to go through. It's going to be hard to deal with for anyone. I can't imagine going through all that he has. it would be a very, very tough time in his life. But as we look at Job, did he do anything wrong? Had he stole from his neighbors? Had he cheated on his wife? Was he disobedient to God? From all we can read, no, he did none of these things. But nonetheless, he was getting ready to have some trials put in front of him. It was his faith in God that was going to be tested. And sometimes, that's what's going to happen. If you would, turn over to 1 Peter, and I know I'm jumping back from Old Testament to New Testament, but if you would, turn to 1 Peter. First Peter, the first chapter, I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that in the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, glory, and revelation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes our faith is going to just be put to test. It's a time where we will either prove that we are strong, we're real, and our faithfulness to God is sincere, honest, and we're not going to let anything stop it. Or it could do the opposite. We could fail that test. We cannot be as strong as we think we are. We need to be stronger. We need to study God's Word and get to where we can go through trials and tribulations without faltering. If you would, turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11, and we'll read verses 36 and 37. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, and yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being desolated, afflicted, and tormented. There's not a thing in here in these verses that sounds very good. This is very serious torture. They are being tested. And they were doing this basically just for being Christians. Why would they go through all this? Let's look up in verse 35. Women received the dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And that's what it's all about right there, that they could obtain a better resurrection. They were looking for what was better, not what was happening to them today. And I know we as humans, when we go through trials and tribulations, sometimes that's hard to do, to look what's down the road, what's here on hereafter and going to heaven, because here on earth we're suffering these things, we're going through these things. But that is our goal, is it not? We want to get to heaven. And to do that, we have to go through things here on earth. I'd like to look at a few other verses that tells us some things about trials and tribulations that maybe will help us just a little. If you would, turn over to Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans 5, and we'll read verses 3 and 4. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Although troubles and tribulations are oftentimes hard to go through, there's in ways they can help us. They can help us build up our perseverance. It builds our character. That gives us that great hope that we have in heaven. If we can only just stay true to God's Word, no matter what we go through. If you would, turn over just a few pages to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12, I'd like to read verses 9 through 13. Let love be without hypocrisy. Harbor what is evil, cling to that what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing the needs to the saints, given to hospitality. We are to be patient in tribulations. And I tell you, I'm one of the first ones that don't have much patience. If you don't believe me, there's a little lady back there that will tell you. I don't have a lot of patience. But it's something that we always have to, I have to work on and always get better at. And that's the thing we have to do when we go through troubling times. We have to be patient. We have to realize that God will help us get through this. Others will help us to get through this. And you know, I think the latter part of these scriptures I was reading, where it says to continue steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. If we take those things to heart, and not just to heart, but to practice, to do these things. Prayer is always a good thing. It's how we communicate with God. It's how we make our requests and needs known to Him. And we have good faith that He will hear us, and He does hear us. And the rest part says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. I have found, and I don't know how many times, that I've gone to visit someone in the hospital, or me and Gil's gone to visit some people in their homes because they were home-ridden, they couldn't get out or nothing. And when I've left there, I was feeling better. I was uplifted. Just to be talking to another brother or sister in Christ who was going through some troubling times, but they didn't seem to act it. They were still happy. They uplifted me. You know, asked me about me and how me and my wife's doing and kids and stuff. I felt it very uplifting. So not only are we doing a good work to visit others and to help them, but I'm confident you'll find it will help you too. It will help strengthen you spiritually. It will help your faith grow. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, so fulfills the law of Christ. We have an obligation when a brother or sister is going through some troubling times to help them, to reach out and do what we can for them. And you might think, and I think this a lot myself, that there's nothing really I can do for them. I don't have the answers to their problems. And a lot of times we don't have the answer to problems. I find myself a lot of times not knowing that. But if we just go talk to them, be a good listener. A lot of times people just want to get stuff off their chest, so to speak, and to get things out. It helps. It helps to talk about things sometimes. And they also realize by you coming and seeing them or talking to them that there is someone out there that cares about them. They'll realize that and is concerned about them. And that in itself can help someone get through some troubling times. And there's a responsibility of here too, also of the person that is going through these trials and tribulations. How can we help if you don't let us know? And I'm not saying people want to know your every little detail of your business or anything. I don't. But if there's something that we can help with, you need to let us know. Let us come talk, get together, do whatever that will help, and let people know what will help. Even if it is, can you just be a good listener? Can you lend me your ear? If that will help, we should be willing to do it. If you would now turn to Mark, the 4th chapter. Mark chapter 4, and we'll be reading verses 16 and 17. Talks about another thing that trials and tribulations can do to us. Starting verse 16. These likewise are ones sown on the stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they stumble. We can be stumbled by trials and tribulations. We can fall. We can let them get the best of us, so to speak. And that's something we need to strive not to do. Because, you know, when we use the very words trials and tribulations, neither of them are a good thing. They're things no one wants to look forward to going through or having to do. But sometimes we do. And we need to strive to make sure we don't let that get in our way to our faithfulness of serving the Lord. Jerry talking this morning about attendance, which is very important. The Bible teaches that. We need to make sure we don't let things in our lives, trials and tribulations, get in the way of that and get us to stop coming. But in fact, when we're going through trouble sometimes, it's probably the one thing we need to do more so than ever, is to be faithful to in attendance, be faithful to God. It will help us get us through.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I'd like to read also from Romans, the 8th chapter. Verses 16 through 18. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to us. And how true that last verse is. If we stop and think about it, no matter what we're going through on this earth, the sufferings that we go through will seem like nothing when we get to heaven, as long as we're faithful to him. The reward of heaven is so much greater than anything we can go through here on this earth. And I know you've heard Jerry say it several times, I'm going to repeat it. If you've missed heaven, you've missed it all. There's nothing on this earth worth losing our home in heaven over. And once we pass away, go to judgment, nothing will compare to being in heaven. And likewise, though, if we look back and we stumble, we fall, we don't get to heaven, we're going to say it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth going to hell over. Nothing is. Now, tonight, if anyone here is not a Christian, and you recognize that you are a sinner, that as the Bible says, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and need salvation, the Bible teaches us how. Romans 10:17 says we have to hear God's Word. And Hebrews 11:6 says that it teaches us we have to believe. We have to believe in Jesus Christ. Matthew 10:32, Jesus says we have to confess Him. And then in Acts 2:38, and all the examples in Acts, it teaches that we need to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's not no one's plan other than God's. It's not man-made. It's all from Scripture. And that's what we need to do if we want to become a Christian. If you are a Christian, though, and you've fallen away, you've let sin get into your life, whether it be from trials and tribulations or anything, it doesn't matter. You've got to do what it says in 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so we can have that hope of heaven once again and not letting any sin stop us from going there. If anyone has any need to come forward tonight, in any way we can help you, please do so as we sing the invitation song.